Ni hao. I am Will Witt, Chinese Will Witt today. We have many things to deal with China today, but don't worry, China is the best. I would never say anything bad about China, because if I say something bad about China, I will lose a lot of money. So don't worry, we're not saying anything bad about China here. China is the perfect country, and they never commit any acts of genocide or totalitarianism, and they are just really, really great, okay? My name is also LeBron James. My middle name is LeBron James, John Cena James, and I love China. So don't forget all about that, guys, okay? Don't forget. The first story we're getting into today, well, let's introduce our panel today. We have Taylor, as always.
What's up, guys?
And we have Amla, who's looking dashing as ever, I must say. Who's looking better than ever. I think we can all agree on that.
It's a good look.
And also more expressive than usual, which I'm very excited for. But the first story today is talking about Halloween costumes, okay? How many of you guys love Halloween? I love Halloween.
I'm raising my hand.
Thanks, Taylor.
You're welcome. Hot Scott's here too, off camera.
Yeah, Hot Scott's here
Amla,
too.
Amla, how do you feel about Halloween? Great.
Amla's got a bone to pick with Halloween, if you know what I'm saying. I get it. All right, so this is from CC Aurora, which is the Community College of Aurora, which I actually took classes at. Aurora is back in Colorado. It's right next to Denver. Community College of Aurora is where I took classes.
I was wondering, because I saw where this college is from, and I was like, I wonder if this is where Will went. But that is the first college that you dropped out of.
Well, I didn't drop out of Community College of Aurora. I took Community College of Aurora classes when I was in high school.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you were like gifted. Overachiever.
And talented. Yeah, no, that's what my parents were telling me since I was a little kid, that I was gifted, you know?
Because they gave you gifts?
I was a unique snowflake for a long time. I was very special. Okay, here's what they said. Are you engaging in cultural appropriation? Shay, is your costume racist, sexist, or otherwise hurtful? Cultural appropriation is the taking from a culture that is not one's own. Intellectual property, cultural expression or artifacts, history and ways of knowledge. This includes any instance where items and practices commonly associated with and or perceived as belonging to another are used to further one's own ends. An example is taking aspects of marginalized/colonized cultures and using them in such a way to serve the interests of the dominant/colonizing culture. Okay?
Well, China is a dominant and colonizing culture these days, are they not? I mean, they're basically colonizing Africa right now, and they're pretty dominant because they have American sports players bowing and people like John Cena of Hollywood movie stars, you know, kowtowing to them at every turn. So I would say China is apparently according to this logic, it's okay to dress up as Chinese for Halloween because they're a dominant and colonizing culture.
I feel like I am in the opposite. I feel like I am doing the cultural disappropriation, if that makes any sense. I'm doing people a favor by showing that China is a colonizing nation. Here's a flowchart, okay? This is going to help you figure out if what you're doing is right. Are you a human being or a non-human fictitious character? I am a human being. My costume represents, and then it's a picture of a celebrity, a racial or ethnic identity, and a historical figure. If that is no, then congrats. Your costume is good to go. If it is yes, then my costume holds a race, religion, gender, disability other than my own. I plan on changing my skin color, wearing a clothing or items catered to inaccurate to the culture. Then think again. Your costume may be harmful. Is it worth it? Or, yes, your costume will be harmful to someone. Is it worth it? Yes. It is. it is worth it. And if you're going to ask me the question, I'm going to answer the question. It is worth it. To have the best Instagram picture, for sure. It's definitely worth it. What is your best Halloween costume ever? I would probably say your Conor McGregor one was your best one.
Yeah, that had to be. Thank you for answering it for me.
Yeah, no. Well, was it worth it?
It was totally worth it. Was I appropriating Irish culture?
Well, this says if you're dressing up as a celebrity and you had a different race, and he's Irish.
Yeah.
So, and you changed your skin tone because you put tattoos on your body.
I guess.
So I think that was pretty racist of you, Taylor.
I should have changed my beard color to orange.
You should have, but you didn't pull through all the way. You didn't,
you know.
You didn't.
Well,
go all
would
the
that have
there.
Been appropriation though? Is it like if you're officially changing, like, I don't know, your skin tone or hair color? Is that, does that make it appropriation?
Here's what cultural appropriation is. Okay, cultural appropriation is white people being shamed into not being able to go and dress up as other cultures for Halloween. Okay, that is what cultural appropriation is. Because cultural appropriation does not affect the people in a horrible negative way that people will say it is. I've proven this. I've proven this beyond a shadow of a doubt by doing videos on this. I dressed up as a Chinaman in a video, and I went and I asked Chinese people what they thought about it, and they loved it. They're the ones who sold me my costume. I did it dressed up as a Mexican in a sombrero and a poncho, and the Mexicans loved it. They're the ones who sold me the costume. And then I did it as a Native American. And the Native Americans at the Navajo Indian Reservation, I went to the Indian Reservation to ask people, and they loved it. But who didn't like it? White people.
Woke white people.
Woke white people didn't like it because they have a victimhood complex, and they want to feel like they're a savior, and they want to come and say, you can't dress like this. When in reality, no one cares. No one cares if you wear a Chinaman hat. No one cares if you wear a sombrero. No one cares if you wear a headdress in a fun, go-lucky way. Okay? I am not wearing this China hat to say I hate Chinese people, all right? Or I am not wearing a sombrero to say I hate Mexican people. That is not the point. The fact that these people are so fragile that they can't have anyone dress up as something different is a true travesty in our society. I just read that article today that came out. I don't have it pulled up, but it said this teacher, a professor at a university, he wrote these kids' names wrong on the whiteboard when he was writing down people's names. And now he is facing potential termination because of writing these kids' names down. How? How soft do you have to be that someone writes your name down incorrectly and now you want to fire this teacher? That is completely insane. People have gotten so soft that anyone dressing up as a different culture or anyone with a difference of opinion should immediately be canceled. That's what cultural appropriation is. The people who are supposed to be offended by these things are not offended by them. I'm taking off the Chinese hat. Amla. Okay? There you go, Amla. Thank you for that, for holding on to that for me. I appreciate it a lot. We did another video today with a very special guest and a very special friend of mine that I think you guys will be very interested in. I spoke at Ole Miss, that's in Mississippi, University of Mississippi, I believe. Or maybe it's Mississippi State. I don't remember. But anyway, University of Mississippi. Okay, Scott's telling me it's University of Mississippi. Ole Miss, right? And I expected Ole Miss to be a very conservative place, and it was not. And now, because I came and spoke, the professor, who is the student advisor for the Turning Point chapter who came and brought me out, is now facing potential release from the school. He's an adjunct professor of journalism at Ole Miss and is now facing his position being taken away from him by the university because of some apparent things that he said. And it also happened to coincidentally line up with me being brought on campus by the group that he student sponsors. This is what we're dealing with the universities. So I had a talk with him. We sat down for an interview, and I want all of you guys to hear exactly what he had to say and that you can show your support for him and other people. All right, guys, we have Professor Mark Burson here on the show today, who is a professor at Ole Miss University. So the reason why I'm bringing him on today is to talk about what is happening with him at this university. Recently, for my book tour, actually, Ole Miss brought me out to speak, and it was a wonderful event, I thought. I mean, we had some students in the audience who I heard disagreed. I mean, there was a lot of people who did agree and hopefully were educated and inspired on what is going on. And so Mark, Professor Mark, he is the student sponsor for the Turning Point group at that university, and now the university seems to have other plans for him. What's going on, Mark?
Well, shortly after your appearance on campus, and I don't know how widely known it was, my association with TPUSA, but the next day I received an email from the university's Equal Opportunity and Regulatory Compliance Office, basically saying that I had run afoul of the word police. That two graduate students had sent a complaint to the dean, and the dean had then forwarded along to this EORC office, that I had uttered the phrase China virus, and that they were now conducting what they called a conversation, not an investigation, but every time I looked, it looked more like an investigation than a conversation. Day after I received that email, and prior to me actually meeting with the director of this organization, my students in one of my graduate classes actually notified me by saying, "Hey, Professor Burson, how come you're not on the class schedule?" And I said, "What do you mean?" As of September 9th, I had received confirmation emails from the graduate department chair that I had two classes and we were good to go. And they said, "No, you've been removed." And it was a little unsettling because I wasn't prepared for that. And that's where we left it. So, oh, and then the following day, I did meet with the director of the AORC, where I learned more about what I had done, allegedly, and that if I had uttered the phrase China virus, which that's just not in my vocabulary, I would say something different. But if I had uttered the phrase China virus, that was racist, and then by implication, I'm a racist teacher. And once that's out there, you can't put it back in the bottle. I mean, that's the...
Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, but here's the thing. I mean, so now the university is basically threatened to potentially terminate you. That's correct?
Well, no, they've... I am what's called an adjunct professor. I'm an adjunct instructional assistant professor. Adjunct means I serve at the will of the university. The reason why I'm a valuable asset to the School of Journalism is I possess a resume that nobody in that building has. I spent 45 years in the business. Through accident of birth, I have a last name that's well known in the public relations industry. So I bring a lot of punch to a program that ordinarily wouldn't see someone like me. And I'm not saying I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm just saying you wouldn't find someone with my credentials at a journalism school in Mississippi, unless I wanted to be here.
The thing about Mississippi that I found very strange when I went there, I spoke at Ole Miss, and I was expecting to go there and meet a bunch of good old boys, and, you know, it was going to be all conservatives everywhere. And then I talked to the student group, the Turning Point group, and they were like, what was the story you said? They said they sent out an email to every single professor at the university trying to get a student sponsorship, and only two responded. And one of them said no, I believe, if I got all the details right. But this is Ole Miss. This is Ole Miss. All the students there are complaining that they don't have any conservative professors. What is going on at these universities?
Well, conservative professors are a rare breed. I'm a unicorn in my building.
Right.
I'm the only conservative professor there. And the reason why I have decided to get out in front of this, and believe me, I did not sign up for teaching to do this. I signed up to teaching because I really thought I could bring something to students who would never have the opportunity to hear the type of stories that I can tell because of where I came from. And yet, here I am, and really what motivates me now is two things. One, this can't happen to conservative professors on campus, but it especially cannot happen to students who are conservative. And I fear that it happens regularly. The other thing is that if I am canceled and removed, my other two classes are removed, I'm no longer the faculty advisor. There's nobody on campus that will step up and serve this organization. I'm the only one.
Well, that seems kind of like the point why they would do that, don't you think?
Well, I don't believe in coincidences, and so I can put a string of facts and events that happen, and then you say, okay, you're going to ask me, what's the underlying motivation? I cannot divine what's in somebody's head or somebody's heart.
Right.
I can only look at behavior and say, how did we get to that behavior? And then make a judgment.
Even saying, I mean, listen, if you say China virus, you're saying that, you know, you're saying you didn't say it and these people are lying. I of course believe you. But even if you did say it, I mean, just in terms of that being said, it should be in no way a justification for not being allowed to come back and speak at classes. So whether you said it or not, it's like this seems like an incredibly innocuous thing that they constantly make a big deal out of, because the left makes a big deal out of words. OK, I think that conservatives care more about actions and the left cares more about what words people say that might be offensive because they don't want freedom of speech out there. What do you think about that when it comes to just Have you been silenced and pushed to not be able to say things that you want to say again for fear of termination or for fear of not being allowed to have classes? And they even lie about it.
Yeah, in a word, yes. I have learned to hold my tongue in our faculty meetings, right? I've learned to sit back and just listen and kind of like go, okay, I'm not really in agreement with that one, but, right? Because it serves no purpose. That my colleagues don't want to hear a counter argument, right? They're not willing to even engage in a discussion, which is really why I came to the university, because I think it's good to rumble with somebody in the, on the battlefield of ideas. I mean, it's that's where progress is made, and yet my colleagues are just unwilling to enter into a discussion where they're actually hearing. With regard to the specific allegation that I uttered the word China virus, I asked this director of the EORC, I said, in what context would I have said that? And she said, well, you said it in the context of masks are dumb. And I laughed. I said, yeah, I would say that. Right? I would definitely say that. Masks, I wouldn't say China virus. I would say China flu if I said it, and I don't recall saying it. But I would say if you... And here's why, and this kind of gives a predicate to how we got to where we are. I knew from the beginning of the semester when the university put a mandate in place that said masks are required inside, that I wasn't going to comply. The reason why I wasn't going to comply was masks inhibit my teaching ability. I need to see you. Right. I need to see your face to understand if I'm getting through. So the first class that I had with my graduate students, I don't wear a mask. Normally, I did the same thing with my undergraduate class, and as soon as they see me not wearing a mask, students take their masks off. Nothing more to be said. My graduate students, it was different. They kept the masks on. Then, the second class, I meet twice a week with them, come back into class, don't have a mask, they're all wearing their masks, and they're all tucked up nice and neatly. And I just asked, I said, why are you guys wearing masks? And somebody said, oh, because it protects us. I said, from what? And that's when I probably said, masks are dumb. If you think they're going to protect you from the China flu, you got another thing coming. That was it. Move on to another subject, right? It's that other subject that I'm sure also led to this. And that was at the beginning of my graduate class, I always tell my students my worldview, okay? Why do I do that? Because if you're going to be successful in this, whether it's the PR business, the IMC world, whatever, you need to know where you're coming from so you can help a client. So I share my worldview. I believe in the sanctity of life. I believe in the sovereignty of the individual. I believe in the fact that we are all created equal and in God's image, that our founding was a miracle, and that we are an exceptional nation. And I make no apology for it. And then I tell my students, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to fashion your own worldview so you can go out and be a good professional. And I don't know this, but I guarantee you there are some students who heard that and said, we got to get, you know, this, we can't let this stand. Because
I think you're a horrible person for saying
exactly,
those types of
for
things.
For saying those things. And the next, that afternoon, I get a call from the dean. That's when it starts.
What is the name of that office that you said? Equality what?
Equal Opportunity and Regulatory Compliance.
I mean, the fact that there even has to be an office named that. That I can't even imagine that any good has ever been done in that office. I genuinely mean that. All of these different offices at all of these different universities that have some sort of equality or something. I mean, these are just administrators who have no idea what they're doing when it comes
right.
to all of these types of places.
You're right.
And, yeah, I met
and
with
they sit
a lot
in
of
judgment.
Them.
You know, they sit in judgment of you, and they trample. Like, I asked two things. I said, doesn't the First Amendment apply even in a classroom setting? I mean, I can understand you're not supposed to espouse political views, and I didn't. But, right. And she said, no, the First Amendment doesn't apply. And how about the Sixth Amendment? Sixth Amendment, the right to face your accuser. Mm-hmm. And she says, no, because this isn't a criminal proceeding, and we like to keep people who come forward to file complaints anonymous, so it protects them.
Yeah, I would assume that these people wouldn't even know what the Sixth Amendment is until you actually went in there and told it to them. I don't think that they ever have to deal with people who actually come in and say, I'm going to face this head on. I think most people, when they get into these situations, especially students, they believe that this is kind of just how it goes. They're right. conservative and they have these views. They just have to be silenced and there's nothing that they can really do. But, you know, you see right now, we've seen with some of these like Southwest employees when it comes to the mandates happening at their airline, and they all came and spoke out about it, and then they changed their stance on it. So students at universities that are dominated by the left, which I hate that Ole Miss is dominated by the left. That really irks me. They have to realize that they can make a big change. They can make a stand if they actually go out there and do something, right? They can actually make those changes. And so I would like people to know now, how can they support you? How can they help you? And I want to do anything I can to make sure that this wrong is made right.
Well, as I said, Will, and when Jody Hallam, who's the head of the Ole Miss TP USA chapter, heard about my story and I told her that my concern was that when I took the job, I knew what I was signing up for, right? My mother used to say, there are no victims in this world, only volunteers. I knew that Ole Miss was mobbed up. I just thought that at one point I'd be able to outrun the mob. I didn't. And I realized that I was in the foxhole alone. And Jody said, no, you're not. We're there with you. If nothing gets resolved, right? If I leave teaching, which is something that I dearly love and I thought I was good at, if that's the fate that finally awaits me, knowing that there are people like you and Jody,
thank you,
who would stand with me, makes it worthwhile.
Thank you, man. God bless you. I wish that the world was more fair when it came to people who just want to have a difference of dialogue. But evil is allowed to triumph so much in this world through the lies, through the accusations, through things like this, where they are able to get away with it because they are put in positions of power. And people are much more susceptible most of the time to lies, because it's an easy lie, than actual hard truths. And they don't want to look at hard truths because it's difficult to get their life and say, I now have to live a life of truth instead of a life by lies. And that's a very difficult thing to do, but you are doing it. Jody at Turning Point is doing it, and I will do whatever I can to help you guys and make sure that this gets resolved. So you just let me know what you need, and if there's anywhere that you think people can go, anyone who's watching right now can see anything else, please let us know now.
I will. As I said, I'm now doing this to see if I can restore my name and make sure that others don't suffer the similar treatment, and particularly students. And I know that students are face this because I hear their stories about how they'll write about conservative thoughts and their professor will, you know, grade them lower because they just can't, and that's wrong. Right.
That's what you have to do, though, as that conservative student. You can't say, oh, I'm going to just take this good grade and write about leftist causes. You have to say, this is what I believe in, and continually do that. Because if we don't, then these people think that they can get away with the lies. And I'm done with letting these people think that they can get away with it. We have to make a big stink about all these kind of things and make sure that people know, so that hopefully they'll make a change that we want to see and make it so that it is more fair for the rest of us.
Absolutely.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on and doing this, especially on short notice, just talking to you on the phone yesterday. So thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And good luck to you. We'll talk
now, you
soon.
Know, you can't bring racist Will Witt to your campus anymore. No more right-wing extremists.
No.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Goodbye. Thanks.
Bye. Okay. So that was Professor Mark from Ole Miss, teaches journalism. So we have a petition for him that Jody at Turning Point, she actually created the petition. She's an amazing, amazing activist. Her name is Jody. She's the chapter president of Turning Point USA at Ole Miss. She's the one who put on my event for me, and she was absolutely phenomenal, hard worker, on it, dedicated, and so she put together this petition. But because of Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and there being a bunch of losers, they wouldn't let us put it on Facebook because it's abusive. We can't even post it on Facebook because they say that the link is abusive or harmful. So what you guys got to do is you got to go to our YouTube show. You got to go to our show on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube right now, you're in luck. If you're on Facebook, you got to go to the YouTube show. I think Taylor has posted in the live chat, right?
Yeah,
post it in the live chat, and then also it's going to be the top pinned comment on this post if you are watching this later, okay? So you can go there, you can sign the petition, and the social media companies are trying to silence us, make sure that no one can see it and label it as abusive, but that's just because they hate the truth. That's because they hate the truth, and that's what they want to do. They want to silence people like us, but I'm not going to let them silence me. I hope that none of you will let them silence you, and I definitely don't want this wonderful professor and that group at Ole Miss to be silenced whatsoever either. Okay, I want to read, I thought this was funny. Okay, don't pull this up, Scott. I'm just going to read it off so you guys can see. These are some things. So I had an event at University of Missouri, Kansas City 2 weeks ago. Their mascot is the kangaroos, which is not a very intimidating mascot. But what happened, I had about, I don't know how many leftists in the group, okay? And one of them came up to ask me a question, and it wasn't a very well thought out question. It was about the Wilkes brothers and our oil funding and, you know, the basic leftist thing that you hear. And so then these leftists on their campus have a podcast, and I would like to share with you some of the quotes that they said on their podcast about me and the event and conservatism in general. Okay? These were three people that if you saw them, you would say, those people are definitely on the left, okay? So you can imagine what these people are, okay? Here's some of the things they said. According to my event, quote, I went to a real-life collegiate KKK rally. That's the first thing they said about it. He brought the 14 words to UMKC's campus. Nice. You know Will Witt, effing loser. Fascism is here in America, and it came to UMKC. You see the nuanced PragerU and TPUSA? We want to run you off this campus. Will Witt, 5'5", 130 pounds. You little bro. That one's actually funny. I weigh more than 130 pounds.
Okay? And you're taller than 5'5".
And I'm taller than 5'5". I'm 5'10". If I'm in boots. But
with the hair.
With the hair and a lot of volume that day. And I'm 155 pounds. Okay, I'm giving you guys all my details right now, just so you know. Okay?
Got the dirt on Will Witt.
Yeah, the dirt, by knowing how much I weigh. What you do with that information, that's up to you. It was funny, I was reading one of those like celeb inquirer things about Will Witt the other day. Someone sent it to me, and it said that I said, based on his photos, he's 6'2". I was like, thank you. I'm glad that the internet thinks that I am so tall and so monstrous.
Hey, you shouldn't have said anything.
Listen, I don't care. I don't care about my height. Being 5'10" is cool. I have no problem with being 5'10". Okay? I enjoy it. He said, they don't need to be here. They don't believe in free speech. That's talking about me. Here's what their next thing said. He said, okay, here's one. That is horrible. They said, I implied that I wanted to bring back slavery. They said, quote, he's a born-again Christian, co-word for Nazi. Can you believe that?
Because I'm exactly the same thing, yeah.
Exactly. Because I'm a born-again Christian, I am a Nazi. That is a code word for Nazi. Can you believe that? That blew my mind. I've heard a lot of crazy things that leftists have said, that people have said to me, that I've seen that have been said about other people. But that was pretty wild to me.
Well, that comparison says absolutely nothing about you and everything about the way this person sees the world and the way this person sees Christians. You know, they're the ones literally conflating Christianity with, what was it, the KKK?
A Nazi. They said Nazi. I'm a Nazi because I got saved by Jesus Christ. Because I got baptized, that's a code word for being a Nazi. I mean, how is that even comparable?
I mean, they call Ben Shapiro a Nazi and he's Jewish.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
No, of course. They called Dennis Prager an anti-Semite at the University of Wyoming. What the hell? They just take all of these words and just spout them off. It means literally nothing. Will Witt is a hired gun propagandist. They yelled at me because I did not denounce QAnon. They said they wanted to dropkick me. and they said that I am a white nationalist.
I can't wait to dropkick you for spreading violence on my campus.
Yeah. They don't believe in free speech. I can't wait to dropkick this guy. These guys were at my events, I will have you know, okay? And the one guy who was here, who was on this podcast, there were three people on this podcast, I believe, and they came and one of the guys asked me a question. Like I said, it was a very dumb question. He didn't ask me about any of these other things. The other people were there. They could have came and they could have asked me any sort of question. They could have asked about why they think I'm a white nationalist or why I'm hurting marginalized groups or how I'm a Nazi because I'm a born-again Christian. They could have asked me any of those things, but they didn't ask any of it. They didn't ask any of it. Why not? Why didn't they? They 100% should have, but they wouldn't. None of these people do.
No, and we saw the same thing. I mean, if you guys didn't see yesterday, you should check out Anomala's Instagram. She went live at the event that she was at Winona State University in Minnesota and was confronting the people that were there to protest her. It was the exact same thing that Will's talking about with the protesters that came against him. It was all of these baseless things about how hate's not welcome at our campus and blah, 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 you're Nazi. And she went out to talk to them. And Will's done this before too, but it's like, give me an example of something that I have said or that PragerU has said that's hateful. And of course, they have absolutely nothing.
We got to look it up. Yeah. I don't have a phone. I don't have a phone on me, so I can't find the specific instance. That's what they said to Amala yesterday.
Yeah, and she was literally like, okay, well, I'll wait. Somebody get her a phone so she can look up. And she was even like, oh, a lot of people get upset about our video with
Abigail Schreier.
Yeah, with Abigail Schreier. So go, you know, go. Maybe that's a video that you can look at, and I'll defend whatever statement you can find that she made. She's just like, she's fearlessly willing to go out there and talk to these people, confront any argument they can bring up, and they can't even come up with arguments, and they don't care to. All they want to do is find meaning somehow in being an activist, even if that their activism doesn't have to be based on anything in truth or reality. And it's pretty frustrating, but it's like, what do you do with those people? I mean, you can't talk
to them in a group. You can't talk to these people in a group. It has to be on an individual basis. And by a group, that also means where there might be other people around too, that just don't agree with them. It's very hard to change minds of large groups of people like that. It is incredibly difficult. But when you get these people on an individual basis, you can do a lot of good. Okay. Don't try and, I think that's just a tip in general on communication and talking to people, is that if you're trying to change someone's mind, being in one of those big groupthink type of mobs, it's incredibly difficult because they all just want to berate you and yell at you because they feel justified in their herd. It's incredibly difficult. But Amala did the right thing. And I could see her, you know, she was getting a little bit frustrated. And that happens. I get frustrated when I'm around these massive groups of people yelling at me too, because they're all just screaming the same things that don't make any sense, have no semblance in reality. They don't have a modicum of any sort of information, but they continue to just yell at you and say these things. And it's like, it's very frustrating. But Amala handled it incredibly well yesterday. So I hope you guys go on her Instagram and watch what she did with those protesters, because it was very brave. It was very good. But the thing, at least those protesters came to Amala's event, and apparently they asked questions, which is good. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I had one. I was on the road for a month, and I didn't have one come up, except for this one guy, but it was terrible. I mean, it was a terrible question. I didn't have like one leftist person come up and ask me a question after one of my events. There were protesters and people on the left at so many of these events, and not one came up and asked me a question. Why'd they do that for Amala? Huh? Why didn't you go? Maybe I'm more intimidating. Maybe I'm scarier. I don't know. But no one came and asked me a question. It was wild.
You were on that radio interview yesterday, and that guy had confronted you.
That was awesome. We were on this. I was driving Taylor back to my house so we could watch the game together, the Dodgers game. And because he had a pernicious situation with his his friends. Anyway, you can send them that.
It's a long story.
Yeah, long story. Taylor doesn't have any friends is the short story of it.
Just Bones over here.
Yeah, just Amala. But she's everyone's friend, so it's not really, doesn't really count. But I was on a radio interview with Rob McCoy, Pastor Rob McCoy, and this guy called into the show, and he's like, Will, everything you're saying is Prager nonsense. And I'm like trying to rationalize these things to him, and then he's like, you need to go back to university and all that. It was very... You know, he did a good job of making himself seem very intolerant. So if that was his goal, then he did a fantastic job. But I thoroughly enjoyed being on with someone who disagreed with me. I wish more people who disagreed with me would have actually asked questions in my events instead of just going on Twitter or on their little podcast and bitching about it. I wish that they would have came and actually talked to me. It would have been so much better.
I was late on the...
Oh.
Should have had to bleep you out.
Is bitching?
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's not a curse.
Dave Rubin said worse on this show, so.
Oh, did he? Okay, fine. All right, so it's fine. So I can just drop some F-bombs and horrible things on here now. Okay, speaking of truth and that the left doesn't stand up for truth, we got this video from Enes Kanter, who is an NBA player on the Celtics, and he came out basically saying, free Tibet, going against China, which is a big no-no if you work for the NBA. And now he put out a video about the Uyghur Muslims, and I want to show you guys some of this video because I think it's pretty powerful.
There is a genocide happening right now. Right now. As I speak this message, torture, rape, forced abortions, and sterilizations, family separations, arbitrary detentions, concentration camps, political re-education, forced labor. This is all happening right now to more than 1.8 million Uyghurs in the Xinjiang region in northern western China. Uyghurs are a Turkic Muslim ethnic group native to the Uyghur region. The Chinese government has been taking sweeping measures to crack down on the Uyghur people simply because they embrace their own religion, their own culture, language, history, and identity. The Uyghur region has become an open-air prison, a surveillance state where freedoms are non-existent for the Uyghur people. The Chinese government has sent Uyghurs along with Kazakhs, Tajiks, and other Muslim groups to concentration camps for simply applying for a passport, for texting someone overseas, or for believing in anything that does not align with the Chinese Communist Party's agenda. Anyone and everyone, athletes, doctors, poets, intellectuals, musicians, community leaders, you name it, are currently suffering inside these camps where the Chinese government is conducting unimaginable human rights abuses and crimes against humanity.
That's the basics of the video. Essentially, this NBA star, he's the center for the Boston Celtics, and he came out and said this in the Free Tibet stuff, I think, what was that, 2 days ago or yesterday?
Tibet was yesterday, and today was the Uyghur.
Yeah, this was today. And now China is no longer streaming Celtics games in their country because they don't want this guy who apparently to them is a propagandist coming out. This is exactly like what we've seen with so many other people who are saying something about China, but it's the opposite because the other people, like LeBron James, John Cena, other famous people, will do the opposite. And they will say, no, we love you, China. You're not doing anything wrong, because they care more about money than they care about people's well-being. And they care more about money than they care about humanitarianism and human rights. But this guy, Enes Kanter, really brave for actually standing up. Now, I've read a pretty good amount about China and what is happening in China right now. And it's pretty wild to see. It's wild to see what's happening with these Uyghur people and also with in Tibet. But what I've found from reading about China is that many people who live in China, you know, I think that we kind of think here in America, we might have this view that people in China are like, no, our government is so horrible and we want to get out of here and we don't like this. The people in China are fairly content with their government. I will say that they see this kind of capitalist communist mix together of what their economy is, and they're doing fairly well economically, and they are pretty happy with their government. Poor people in China don't really worry about political issues.
Well, I think in America, to be fair, they're brainwashed from the time they're kids, and the regime is in charge of what they see. They censor any information that undermines the narrative, and they're not allowed to express any dissent. No one is. And so you live in a community where, yeah, of course you're going to be happy or think you're happy with your government when you don't even know what freedom is. You don't even know what free exchange of ideas are. They've never been exposed to freedom or Judeo-Christian values or anything like that.
But many of them, like many societies where tyranny is awful, the economy is usually awful for the lower classes in many of these places. In China, that's not necessarily the case for all these people. A lot of people choose to not be political. The attitude towards the Communist Party is not horrible in that country. And it's definitely not as bad in other totalitarian societies that we have seen, where many, many people actively hate their government and want to overthrow their government. And this is because of how China just has been for thousands of years. I mean, China has been a legalist society that is built more on an honor-based system where, like, if you say something bad to a superior to you, then that is, like, the worst thing. Like, embarrassing someone in public is, like, mm-hmm. the worst thing. Like, that's how their society...
Yeah, it's very familial and right. Eastern sort of collectivist, you know, based.
Right. And so it's very collective. And it's like that phrase, the tallest piece of grass gets cut first. That's essentially
totally.
What... Yeah,
that's the mentality.
Yeah, like, they don't want to be that tallest piece of grass. People are more fine with staying in line in a country like China than people in the West ever would. We have a totally different mindset. So some things that we see here that we'd be like, we could never have that here. Sometimes the people in China are more okay with it because they don't understand a different way of living. And that's a tough thing, because when you have a society that is built on this collectivist mindset and people don't recognize always the horrible things that are happening in their communities or in their country, then it makes it very difficult to institute any changes or to have there be any sort of real awakening in these places. So I think that it's incredibly important that someone like Enes Kanter is coming out and saying what he's saying, and hopefully people will see it, and hopefully people in China will be like, why can't we watch Celtics games anymore? You know, I hope that they'll realize and wonder what is going on, and if there's a way to get information and find out what's really happening, then that would be an amazing thing. And I think that China can make good changes. I think that people want to be economically prosperous, and if the government starts to tank in China, then I think that people will turn against their government. I could see something like that happening. But until happens,
before we worry about how the Chinese are going to respond, I think the Chinese people, I think the global community has to be honest and be consistent with their ethics and with their morals, and stop making excuses for China and turning a blind eye to the Communist Party's atrocities on a global stage. I mean, they're Chinese Communist Party is responsible for the worst atrocities going on in the world today. They're single-handedly upholding the Kim regime in North Korea, which is basically a long, slow genocide of its own people, lifelong torture. I mean, we heard Yanmi Park on this show and on Rogan and with Jordan Peterson talk about her insane experiences. They're doing what they're doing in Tibet. They're doing what they're doing among the Uyghur people. They're doing what they're doing in Hong Kong. And they've lied, repeated, gone back on their word to respect human rights over and over again. And they're committing these atrocities, and the world is content to turn a blind eye to it. And not to mention unleashing a deadly pandemic on the entire globe. So it is insane that there's zero accountability, and it's taking someone like Enes Kanter to just be like, you guys are crazy. NBA, I don't care what the consequences are to me. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'll create problems for you. Okay, Celtics are going to lose lots of money. The NBA is going to lose lots of money. There's going to be political tensions with China, but good. And so I hope that more people who are in positions to put pressure on China, whether it's like with the companies like Nike who are in bed with China, or Disney, or whomever it may be, like people start who are in positions like Enes start speaking up, so that there's justified tremendous pressure on the Communist Chinese Party from the outside. And I think once the more the global community puts that pressure on them, the weaker the regime's gonna be in the first place. And I don't know that like the effect of brainwashing on their community, or keeping the peasant class sort of happy by making their economic prospects just okay, can be undermined, and or you can mobilize that by really exposing the corruption of the regime.
That's exactly right. I hope that more people will do it. But these companies and all of these NBA players and other athletes value their wealth and what people think about them far more than something that might be brave.
But that's they're very bravely speaking about racism in America.
Of course. Well, because that's the easy thing to do. It's always the easy thing to do that is never as worthwhile as the hard thing to do. The hard thing to do is how we change society.
It's just crazy.
Easy things turn it in the wrong way.
Yeah, they're more concerned and vocal about imaginary racism in America than actual genocide, race-based genocide in China.
Of course. They don't care about it at all.
Yeah.
Very proud of him. And I'm a big... The Celtics are my team. They've always been my team.
Really? I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, since... I used to watch it when it was the Big Five, when it was Rajon Rondo, Perkins, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. Remember that when they played the Lakers? Or was that the Lakers, or was that the Miami Heat? I think it was the Miami Heat, right?
I mean, that was the LeBron era. We're looking at Scott.
Yeah, we're looking at Scott. Don't you know?
Yeah, it was both.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah, and they were playing both in the finals. And those were the years. I loved Rondo, even though he had a bad attitude. He was just a lot of fun to watch. Anyway, okay, basketball stuff. You know, you women. I told you guys, it's boys club today. All right, boys day.
Amala's away. We can talk about sports, golf,
girls,
Lord of the Rings,
boobs, beer. All the good stuff, right? Am I right,
cigars.
Boys? Am I right, Amala? Huh? Yeah? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. We're going to play a game for Fun Friday. It's basically Would You Rather, but it's called like Answer the Internet. These are taken from Barstool Sports, and we have gone through and chosen some that are clean, and we are going to...
Some of the few that were actually clean
some of the few that
share.
That aren't so obscene that we can show them on this
okay,
show.
Okay, I've got some music. Y'all let me know if this is too loud, but we're going to have some lighthearted music during the fun segment today. Scott picked it out, so if you don't like it...
Scott picked it out? All right. If you like the music, I picked it out. If you don't like it, Scott picked it.
He just gave me like the most shocked look, like, really? We did go over some of these together.
Okay, fine. All right. First question. You have to pick one food for your best friend to chew up and spit in your mouth. What food do you choose? Wait, do you have to eat it? Or just he spits in your mouth?
You don't have... I don't know. They're just going to spit it in your mouth. Why is the difference?
Well, because one, you might have to chew it a little bit. You know how gristly the food is. You might have to continue.
Grizzly?
Yeah. I would probably choose like watermelon. I think that would be a good one because it's very, there's not a lot of density.
Am I allowed to do gum? I would totally
No, you can't
gum.
Do gum.
Just like chew up the gum.
No, it has to be a food.
I'll swallow it. Whatever. Just get it over with. That's what I would choose. Scott, you need the mic. Can you slide over into Amala's spot?
Yeah, you can use
get her out of there.
Ah, man, this is a tough one. I would have to say watermelon's a good one. Yeah. Honeydew, cantaloupe, just some type of fruit.
Yeah, it's just what you guys would want me to chew up and put in your guys' mouth because I am both of your best friends.
It's like Mama Bird.
Yeah, thanks for agreeing, guys.
Okay. Dave's hot chicken.
Dave's.
Could be like soup. That would be like pre-chewed.
Yeah, that's
the move right
chicken
there.
Soup.
Some Jamba Juice.
Yeah. If you could train a pet bird to do anything you want and it always returns home, what would it be?
I would say send mail. Like, I hate going to the post office or even dropping mail in like, it's like there's certain things that you actually physically still have to go do that you just shouldn't have to do anymore because we have the internet. Like, go to the DMV. I would love it if the bird could just fly to the DMV and drop off all my documents and not make me actually go.
I know. If the bird could go get my registration renewed, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I would absolutely love it. If you remember back in Mulan, like the animated version where one of the Huns had
oh,
that the
hawk.
Falcon, the peregrine falcon or whatever it was. I would absolutely love to have one of those just to go scout out things.
I know.
Like, to go pluck my enemy's eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, Taylor put this stupid picture of a pigeon. That's like the least intimidating bird.
It's like a homing pigeon. Homing pigeons run.
Yeah, but you're
you.
Not going to have a pigeon be your
Look,
intimidating.
You can do the clip art next time if you want to do. Amala usually does it.
Yeah, Amala usually. Well, she does a weird job too. You guys should just leave
Will
it
just
to
likes
Scott.
To criticize it. You would never take the time to find clip art in a million years.
No, I wouldn't. But I would expect that if I put you in a position of power to do something, you would do a fine job. It's okay. It's fine. All right. Is it embarrassing for a man to get manicures or pedicures? No, of course not. No, it's a perfectly justifiable thing to do.
I've never done it personally, so
You've
I don't
never
really
done
know.
One?
I don't really. I don't know what I'm missing, but I'm also like not sad that I'm missing
They're
something.
They're great. They're great.
I
love them. I
think it's embarrassing. I don't think men should get pedicures.
Have you ever had
manicures.
One?
Nope. And I
well, then
will.
You don't know. Neither of you have had one. You have to get one.
There
it
are
feels
lots
so
of other
good.
Things that are embarrassing that I've never done or had done to me that I would still consider embarrassing. So
this is not embarrassing. I've been embarrassed before, but this is not embarrassing. Okay, trust me. It feels really good. Your hands feel great. They get all this muck off your hands and in between your fingernails and toenails. It's a fantastic experience. And there are places that you can go that are like men manicure places. They're like manicures.
That's even worse.
And they give you like whiskey and it's in like, it looks like a cigar lounge and you just get a manicure or pedicure. It's a lot of fun.
When they're giving you the manicure, do they pour the whiskey and let you sip on it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to do it yourself?
No. Yeah. They do it for
they
you.
They give you a helmet with the whiskey glass in and you can kind of sip on a straw.
Yeah. It's like a Camelback, but full of whiskey.
Will's very passionate about this. Do you have a membership at your local manicure spot?
No, but you remember Mike from Scotland?
Oh, yeah.
Mike and I used to go.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Mike's a very masculine man.
Exactly. And he would go.
Is it like a partial massage at the same
time? Yeah. They massage your feet and hands.
Okay.
You know?
I don't know, man.
You just can't have... Here's the thing. It has to be a woman doing it. right?
Yeah.
A woman has to do it.
Yeah. Do you get massaged? Have you ever had a massage by a man?
So I just did, actually.
Oh, no.
I know. I was in Florida, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Robert Mahaney says, I'm gay and I don't do any of that.
Well, you're obviously not gay, then. Okay?
Oh,
no, but hilarious. I got a massage. I went to like a massage envy while I was in Florida because I had some time and I got one booked for me. And, you know, I've never got a massage from a man.
It was someone named Taylor, and you were like,
It was Scott.
Could be a girl, could be a guy.
But I go in, and then they're like, oh, I'm like, do you have any females available, right? I'm like, it's a girl. I'm like, what girl is doing the massage today? And they're like, oh, it's actually Adam, or whatever his name is. And I was like, oh, damn. And then I texted, like, oh, I have this group chat of, like, all my guy friends. And I was like...
Wow, me and Scott aren't in your group chat with your guy friends?
No, you guys are my girlfriends.
I thought we had something special.
And I texted them all. I was like, is it gay to get a massage by a man or is that okay?
What did they say?
They were like, yes.
I wouldn't do it. Okay. I could not bring myself to have man hands on me.
It wasn't so bad. I mean, it was very deep. Yeah, it was a deep tissue massage.
Yeah, you could call it PT.
Right, like, no, it was physical therapy. Yeah. That's what we're calling it.
I do have a male physical therapist.
Yeah, no, that's fine. My physical therapist is a female.
Will's like trying to justify it after.
Yeah.
Was fine, and so was this massage by a man. Those are the only weird things I do.
Yeah,
guys, I
and then he chewed up a watermelon and spit it in my mouth. We became best friends after that. Oh, all right, this episode's taking a turn. All right.
Ooh.
Are handwritten thank you notes necessary? 100% yes. Very much so. I am 100% on board with this. When I did my book, and I had about... 50 to 55 like bigger name people that I wanted to send my book out to. I spent days writing handwritten notes to all of them, thanking them with personal stories of me with them. I mean, I spent a lot of time doing that for all these people and it worked. It worked really well. A lot of people posted the book and, you know, I didn't just do this as a means to post it. I also want to thank these people. They're good friends.
It worked.
But it worked in the sense that, you know, people were very appreciative. I think that handwritten notes are incredibly necessary. I'm a big letter guy. I love letters. I love letters.
Yeah, I mean, we're Taylor and I can commiserate with one another. Just we're going through the whole thank you note process post wedding, I get it. It's like they are necessary and a must, especially if somebody does something for you or gets you something nice or sends money or whatever. So they are necessary. It's just like I am a horrible procrastinator, mm-hmm. So getting to it. And just pushing myself to do it is one of the more difficult things.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It takes a long time, especially when you have handwriting like us. It's like, it's really tough.
The chicken scratch.
Yeah, I typed all my thank yous, but I still haven't written them from the wedding. So I have to go back and like write everything I typed with my hand. And I'm not looking forward to that.
Maybe that's why they sold your Dodgers ticket.
My what?
Dodgers ticket. Because you can't even write him a nice letter for coming to your wedding.
Everyone I know hates me and thinks I'm ungrateful because I haven't written the wedding yet, writing thank yous mm-hmm. yet. It's probably true.
If you could change your name to anything, what would you change it to?
Ooh.
Probably like...
Aragorn.
Yeah, I was going to say Aragorn too. Or
Leonidas.
Yeah, Elendil.
I've always been a big fan of Théoden.
Théoden?
Yeah.
That's a sick name. I knew a kid, I think I just met a kid whose name was Rohan.
Whoa.
Yeah, his like name was actually Rohan, which was super cool. If I could change my name to anything, maybe like Achilles. Yeah, like Achilles. That would be sick.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chad, someone said.
Chad.
Definitely Chad.
Yeah. Will Chaddington. What's your closest near-death experience?
I don't think I've ever had a near-death experience.
You had one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how personal I want to get, but I had some complications during a procedure I had once, and that was pretty freaky. But
yeah, that sucks.
That's about all I want to say.
That sounds really personal.
That's okay. No. Scott, what was it?
Got real quick.
Exactly. All right, Will almost had a near-death experience at his massage envy from a man.
From embarrassment. I almost died of embarrassment getting a massage from a man.
Heart beating so fast.
Yeah, exactly. I had one. When I was a little kid, I actually drowned. I was at a pool at a hotel, and I was, I don't know, maybe 3 years old. I don't know how old I was. I don't remember much from that age, but there's like steps in a pool, you know, like descending steps, and I was on one of the steps, and for some reason no one was watching me, and I jumped down one of the steps, and then like I couldn't swim, and so I'm just sitting there drowning, but I'm starting to drown, and this guy in a full suit, he like was out there and he jumped in the pool and saved me.
Oh, dang.
Pulled me out. Wow. Yeah,
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. It's one time. That's nice. This one time my mom made this disgusting pizza and she
almost killed me.
And I threw, when she went upstairs to like go check on something, I threw it in the garbage and I tried to hide it in the rest of the garbage so she wouldn't see that like I didn't eat it because it was so bad. And then I go back up to my room and then I just hear her scream my name and I have to run back downstairs and she says, "You are going to eat this pizza." And I had to eat this pizza that I threw in the garbage.
What kind was it?
It was like nasty cheese pizza.
Nasty cheese.
It was horrible. I don't know what she did with it, but Mom, I know you're watching this.
Then it had garbage on it?
It had like coffee grounds all over it, and I had to eat it.
Wow. Based Mom.
Yeah, seriously. But it was a good punishment.
Oh, wait. I do have a story. Okay.
All right, what?
One time, it was the middle of the night. I woke up, and I felt something scratching on my chest. And I was like, what the heck? Like an animal or something? And so I jumped out of bed and like felt it like move and like got on my arm. And it freaked me out. So I'm like fighting this thing in the pitch dark. I'm all disoriented. And I remember like I knocked over the table in my room and like I ran out. And then I went into the bathroom and flipped the light on. And like I had like claw marks on my chest and on my arm, and like my right arm was bleeding and I was like, what the heck just attacked me in the middle of the night? And then as I'm sitting there like panting, like just getting reoriented with the world after waking up from into that, I'm cooling off the adrenaline or whatever, and my arm is just like crazy, like on fire, like tingling. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And I realize that my arm is actually like asleep. Like, you know, when you like, have a sleeping foot or whatever. And what had happened was I was sleeping with like my arm wrapped around my body or something. And like my arm had completely lost circulation. So my own hand was on my chest when I woke up. And, that's what I felt on me. And what the scratch marks came from is when I jumped out of bed, I scratched my arm on the furniture next to me and like it drew blood. And then I was like flailing around and my limp arm was smacking myself in all these different places. And so it drew, like, and that's where the scratch marks came from. And so I literally like got attacked by a demon that was myself in the middle of the night, just a sleeping arm. And anyway, the feeling came back and I was okay and I went back to bed. But
that has to be one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's a 100% true story.
I believe that it's true.
It's crazy. It was really stupid, but I'm just glad I'm okay.
I think that the government wants you to think that it was you.
Yeah.
In reality, there's a deeper plot here.
Yeah. It was probably a Japanese robot.
It was probably a male masseuse.
Snuck in my room in the middle of the night.
And scratched you up. That's for not hiring me. What is your stance on washing your hands after going to the bathroom? What kind of question is this, Taylor?
This was in ATI. I don't
know. Do I have to tell people? I'm not going to say the
truth. Tell us your stance.
Well, of course, if you get poop on your hands, you should wash your hands after you go to the bathroom.
That's the only time you will get is when you get poop on your hands?
Well, I don't know who's getting that on their hands. I don't know how bad you are.
Sometimes
at this.
That thin toilet paper can
that's
get you.
That's true. No, that's true. The PragerU office is
you
honestly,
have a breakthrough infection.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
If the executives of PragerU are watching this, get better toilet paper in the restroom because it is wildly thin.
Will strikes me as the kind of guy who buys the most expensive, highest end toilet paper.
I do.
I do.
I like high quality toilet paper.
I mean,
for sure do.
Two ply is a necessity.
Snuggles.
Single ply.
Yeah.
Dwight Schrute.
He gets the quilted pattern Snuggles version.
Literally. I get like
comfort
it's like,
soft.
Yeah, mine's like a full like comforter. It's like pieces of a comforter.
I use straight up silk.
Yeah. My male masseuse has to wash it.
Anyway, I think you should always wash your hands in a public bathroom no matter what. At home, I mean,
you do whatever you want.
Dude. It's a little. Yeah. You know, number two, for sure,
listen,
always.
No one's going to sit here and say that we always do it, okay? All right? And anyone in the comments who wants to throw stones, look at yourself first, okay? We know you're not washing your hands.
It's also good for your immune system.
Yeah.
Just ask Dwight Schrute.
Yeah. So ask Dennis Prager. If you had 30 seconds to be on your biggest enemy's phone, what would you do to ruin their life? Oh, I don't like this. I don't want to ruin anyone's life. I don't. That would be horrible. That sounds like...
Even your biggest enemy?
I don't know if I have a biggest enemy. Do you have a biggest enemy? Who's your biggest enemy?
Will Witt.
I thought I was your best friend.
No, I really don't know. I don't know if I could bring myself to like you know, this is like low. It's a low thing to do, no matter who it is. I mean, there's certain things wish on your worst enemy, and there's certain things you wouldn't want your worst enemy to do to you. So why would you do something like this?
I can only think if my worst enemy is like a genocidal maniac or something.
I would like maybe prank them, you know, like, yeah. I don't know. Like, what if this was like AOC's phone or something? Yeah.
We booked you with a male masseuse.
Yeah.
I think the thing I would do is just to annoy them would be to erase it and put it to factory reset. So they lose everything.
That's a good idea. See, that's not a life ruining thing. That's just like a very annoying thing, you know?
I would change someone's number in their phone to like mom and some random person. Uh-huh. That'd be a good one.
That'd be a great one.
Yeah. And then like prank call that person or something.
And they'd never figure it out.
Yeah. Ever.
Because people are so bad with technology these days. I don't know what I would do. I couldn't tell you. Maybe like delete their most precious photos or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, the iCloud has ruined everything.
Yeah, exactly. I know. All right, if you could be a ghost and haunt one person, who would it be? Maybe Alex Jones.
Why?
Just to find out more.
I feel like you'd be more scared after seeing his life.
I'd be haunted.
As a ghost. Yeah.
I'd be haunted by Alex Jones.
Joke's on you.
Ghosts on you. I don't know. I don't know if I want to haunt anyone. I like living my life.
Craig.
Do I have to die?
Yeah, to become a ghost. That's a prerequisite.
All right, fine. Well, I don't want to die. I don't agree with the premise.
Imagine you don't have to die, but you can be a ghost for a night. Who do you haunt?
It's going to sound creepy then.
Well, they could be in a different time zone.
Okay, that's fine then. I will find someone in Bangladesh. Whoopi Goldberg. I'll get Joy Behar. And you get
Let's just go
Barbara
after the
Walters.
Cast of The View. Yeah.
If you had one free throw, and if you make it, you get $1 million. But if you miss, you never get to text again. Would you shoot it? Hell yeah, I'd shoot it. Are you joking?
that's an automatic shot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm an 8 for 10 on the line.
I don't know. Last time I was with you on a basketball court, you airballed like five.
I was in jeans. I hadn't played in a long time. If they give me some practice ones first.
You don't get a practice. You get one free throw. That's the point.
Well, I will know when it is.
Cold turkey.
I'm sure if I'm going to win $1 million, they will obviously schedule this beforehand, which means that they will make an event for this, which means that I will know ahead of time and I can go practice.
One and done.
Those jeans must have been so tight.
They were tight. Because I couldn't get my full shot.
Couldn't get the legs into it?
No, it's just arms, you know?
Yeah, that's on our homeless vlog. You can watch Will miss a three-pointer in our government versus nonprofit. Who's better at solving homelessness? Look it up.
That's a very good video, by the way. If you could have one person in your deathbed and you get 2 sentences to tell them whatever you want, who would it be?
I think I have to say my wife at this point now that I'm married.
Yeah, I'd probably say either of your guys' wives too. Hey. Just so I feel like I've
thought for sure Will was gonna say Scott.
Yeah. I would probably say right now
Scott.
Probably closer,
Scott.
Scott. Keep it coming.
Oh man.
One last. I guess my mom. Probably my mom, right?
I mean, mine's my wife.
Yeah.
But
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Easy. Who are the worst types of people on a plane? Easy. I know. You guys want to answer? I know this for sure.
Smelly people.
Yeah.
Smelly, fat people who take up more than one seat and expect it that they only have to pay for one seat.
Yep.
That is the worst.
How often does that happen?
It happens.
It happens.
It doesn't. The worst is people. I take a lot of really early flights, traveling and doing stuff. Like I got a 6 a.m. flight coming up. The worst types of people are when it's sunrise and they know that people want to sleep and you keep your stupid window shade open and you let the massive rays of sunshine beam right into my eyeballs while I'm trying to sleep on this plane. You are the worst types of people. I hate you. I can't believe people actually do that.
Oh, someone said mask Nazis. That's a good one.
Well, that's obviously really the worst.
Yeah,
that's
definitely the worst.
I also can't stand the people, like, right when you take off, they unbuckle their seatbelt and just go to the bathroom. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah, who would,
like,
who
10
would
minutes
that?
Ago,
where's
you
the
were
fire?
In, you were in like the terminal and everything, go to the restroom before. And
sometimes
then,
that's me. I'm not gonna lie. I also get the aisle seat, so I don't annoy them.
No, if you have a flight that is under 3 hours long, okay, that's under 3 hours long, and you're a man, you should not get up to go to the bathroom. That's just a rule of thumb.
This from the manicure and male massage guy says it's unmanly to go to the bathroom.
Listen,
on a 3-hour
I have standards
flight.
For some things, okay?
Yeah.
If you should not you should be able to hold it.
Yeah. You don't drink coffee. Your kidneys need to do some serious work.
Yeah, exactly. If it's under 3 hours, you sit in that seat.
Sometimes I pee twice on like a 1-hour flight, two-hour flight.
That is a feminine thing to do. Only a woman would do that.
I mean, the easy answer, also another one for these, is the people who immediately put their seat back. I mean,
I do that. I for sure do that.
Will's definitely one of the people that like goes back as far as he can, as fast as he can, all the way. Doesn't like ease into it in case they have their tray down.
Yeah,
so
as hard and as quickly as possible.
He makes their hot coffee spill in their lap behind him and doesn't give a second thought about it. Yeah. That is so you.
Well, maybe you should have been in first class. Huh? This wouldn't be happening to you, huh? 9F. Oh, next one. If you could open a school of life to learn real life valuable things, what would you teach? I think we did this one.
What did you
say? Yeah, I said cooking.
Mm. I said taxes and budgeting and stuff.
What are three examples of your living hell?
Do you see what that picture is? It's kind of hard to make out, but.
Is it a Balrog?
It's a Balrog.
Oh, wow.
Put it on there just for you.
Thank you.
You complained about my clip art earlier, but.
No, this one I do not complain. I have no complaints. Three examples of your living hell. Uber drivers who start small talk, that is hell, for sure. I do not
like... Which happens everywhere besides LA.
I know. That's the one thing I like about LA. The Uber drivers will just say nothing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like soul crushing or what. Like when I first moved to California, I like greeted people on the street and would be like, howdy, how you doing? You know, like, because as one does in any other part of the country.
Yeah.
And then people just look at you like they're like you're a psycho.
Yeah.
And so you just like... over time just become soul numbing and you know, and you're like, I don't want to speak to anyone. I don't want to be spoken to. You just, let's go about it. Even like in an elevator in my apartment building, people are just like,
you don't even
silently going up.
Don't even make eye contact.
Yeah.
No,
the
no
only thing contact. That other person is thinking about is about how they can talk about themselves to you if something happens. That's LA for you.
Yeah. But I kind of find it endearing when I go to another state and the Uber driver talks to me and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. People are like decent human beings in other places. And
no, listen, I'm not trying to be so cynical and pessimistic, but it's an early morning, and your Uber driver starts asking you about, you know, your job and everything like that.
Especially,
like,
I have headphones in most of the time in Uber.
I know.
And then they like talk over your headphones, and you have to like pause your podcast or music or whatever, and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna talk to you, George. Yeah, just go ahead.
Oh, I got it. Thanks for making me pause. It's right in the guitar solo of Freebird. And now I got to hear you talk about the weather we're having. I know the weather we're having. I'm looking out the window.
That traffic, though. You know, it's not the heat, but it's the humidity that really gets you.
I would have to add to the list, like, gulpers and loud chewers.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
That's just
that
nails on a chalkboard
for
me.
No, I agree. That's a tough thing to deal with.
Yeah. Wooden popsicle sticks. Ooh. That is the worst thing ever.
What?
Just like
what kind of a
like if you have a popsicle and like it touches my tongue, it just makes me like gag. Mm-hmm. Like it's so like it's like nails on the chalkboard. That's my thing. I hate touching it. Like any of it. Sometimes I just like cringe.
I get the same feeling when I touch cardboard. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. It's
mine's
a
like styrofoam.
Sensation.
Yeah.
I can't touch styrofoam.
You like scrape your nails on it.
Oh, freaks me out. First. I want to die.
Paper straws, too. There would be
horrible.
My hell would have paper straws everywhere. Yeah.
Taylor is at war with paper straws.
I hate paper straws.
Is literally going to like an indie coffee shop in El Segundo and having paper straws in all of the drinks.
It does not, and it gets no worse than that. It's as bad as it can possibly
literally
be.
Literally so bad.
It's just jammed into the top, too, so it's already bent.
Yeah, every time you jam it in, it like breaks, and they keep handing you a new one, and every time you jam it in, it breaks.
And then if it gets through without breaking, it's disintegrating. Integrated in 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
So the paper dissolves into your drink.
You're just constantly going through. No, they
hate paper straws.
They missed this in Dante's Inferno in the ninth rung of hell.
Yeah.
The paper straws.
Does not get worse than that.
Why can't girls decide what they want to eat?
Oh, God.
Girls can decide where they want to eat. They just don't want to tell you.
Yeah. They choose not to.
They choose not to tell you. They know where they want to go. Because as soon as you say that this is where I want to go, they say, no, I don't want to go there. It's like, well, then tell me where you want to go.
Well, I think there's also a difference. They always seem to like, they know they want to eat that burger. They right. know they want to eat that stuff, but then they put on the front that, no, we cannot. And it's like, well, if you want it, like, go ahead and eat it and we'll deal with the caloric burn afterwards. Like, yeah. don't worry.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. You know,
my thing is like,
you just go run later.
If you genuinely don't care where we go eat, then okay, you don't care. I'm just going to pick a place. But that's never the actual case.
No.
It's never. Like, you care, but you're just not going to tell me what, you're not going to give me any help or any suggestions. I have to choose somewhere. Not that I want to go, but that you want to go without you telling me. And so I just have to like be a, you know, wizard and figure out what's in your brain and read your mind. Or not even, maybe it's not even a restaurant is in there for you, but I have to pick one that I know you already like. And then we're going to go there.
Need the palantir.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's a dangerous tool.
I just choose. I'm like, I don't even ask. I'm like, here we go. Like we're going here.
Oh, there's the Will It answer for you.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's going to be a whole thing. Okay.
But see, if I do that and I'm like, all right, well, I'll just go here. Then she's like, oh no, I don't like that. And then I have, it's like, she gets infinite vetoes. And then I just, until we land on the one that she wants.
I'm like, well, you can go buy your own dinner then. Okay. It's not my problem. What is your biggest irrational fear? I don't have any irrational fears.
Do you see this picture?
Gothmog.
Why did I put it in there?
Because the city is rank with it.
Fear, yes. His famous line in Lord of the Rings.
Yes, I know.
Fear, the city is rank with it.
Anyways, indulge me with the Lord of the Rings clip art today.
Do you have a rational fear? I don't have one. I don't think so. If I'm afraid of something, it's because it's rational.
You're afraid of styrofoam.
I am afraid of styrofoam. That's rational. That's not irrational.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of spiders. I don't know.
That's not irrational. Spiders are scary.
I mean, yeah, they can get you. Have you?
Yeah, they bit you like a black widow spider.
Have you seen Shelob?
Yeah, exactly. Ungoliant. Or like if a brown recluse gets into your bed while you're sleeping, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
Like that is legit super scary. That's not irrational. I don't know if I have an irrational fear. Everything I fear is completely justified.
Because I'm afraid of it.
Because I'm afraid of it. This isn't Amala and being afraid of planes. This is like real.
Amala has an actual phobia with planes. She really does.
Who is the one white person that black people would pick in the Chappelle Show racial draft?
I added this for you. I didn't really watch the Chappelle Show, but I know you're a big fan.
I love the Chappelle Show.
Who's that rapper that you were playing yesterday that I didn't know was white?
Oh, Logic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They'd probably pick Logic.
Logic, yeah.
But I think
someone from our generation would say Eminem, but...
Yeah. Elvis. All right, I guess that's it.
Okay.
We have 15 minutes over time.
We answered the internet, guys. We extended today just for Fun Friday.
Yeah, why not? It was fun. I had a great time. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for joining in. That was a lot of fun. If you missed any other parts of the show, you can make sure that you can listen to it on Spotify or Google Play or Apple Podcasts. We are posting the link for the petition for the professor who is getting potentially his position lost at the university on the top of the comments on our YouTube channel. So make sure you go check there because Facebook said that it is abusive content and we couldn't post it there. So go to our YouTube channel, find this video. It is going to be pinned as the top comment on this video. Thanks so much for watching, guys.
And if you have not yet taken our survey, the new survey that we have out, we need y'all's feedback. We need to know what segments you like, what you don't like, whether we should get rid of Will, whether we should keep the dead version of Amala or bring back the live one, or just really we want to get your feedback and know what you like about the show, what parts you're watching, so, and give us 5-star reviews on Apple and Spotify and everywhere you can give us a review. And thank you so much for watching.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. Peace.